As Christians, we are called to be like Christ. Amen? Amen. Our goal is to have the mind of Christ. Our goal is to have the mind of Christ. We want to grow in Christ-likeness. We're called to have the mind of Christ. What is Christ's mindset? If we're called to have the mind of Christ, we need to know what his mindset is. Philippians 2, verse 5 says this in the King James Version, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ." We are called as Christians to have the same attitude as our Lord. Amen? So what is that attitude? What is Christ's attitude? Would you please open to this very passage, Philippians chapter 2, and stand with me as we read God's word. Therefore, this is verse 1, Philippians 2, 1. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Will you pray with me, please? This passage is so awesome. Would you pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit living in you, that his anointing in you would teach you what this passage is saying? Would you pray right now for the other people in this room? That the Holy Spirit living in their heart would teach them this passage today. Now would you pray for me? I have one job this morning and one job only, and that is to accurately teach you this passage. Please pray that I would do that. Pray that I would be filled and led and controlled with the Holy Spirit. Gracious Father, forgive us for taking this moment for granted. As we think of our brothers and sisters around the world waking up this morning loving the same Jesus we love, no Christian friends, no pastor, no Bible, no sermon. Heavenly Father, forgive us for taking this moment for granted. May we receive every blessing you have for us in the next few minutes. And may we be eternally grateful that we get to do this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Number one in your notes. Our goal as Christians should be to have the mind of Christ. Our goal as Christians should be to have the mind of Christ. We talked about God's will a few weeks ago. God's will is that you and I be like Jesus. God's will is that we have the same mindset that our Lord Jesus has. So the question is, what is that mindset? And that's what this beautiful passage will teach us today. Verse 1. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. When he says if, what he really means is sense. What he really means is sense. It'd be like this. If someone came to me and said, if you vowed before God and witnesses to live with Julie for as long as you both shall live, then do it. Well, I did do that, didn't I? So since I did, God calls us to live in harmony. Amen? So Paul is saying, since there is so much encouragement in Christ, since there is so much consolation of love, since there is fellowship in the Spirit, since there is affection and compassion, since all of those beautiful gospel things are true, make my joy complete by being of the same mind. He calls us to be like-minded, to be of the same mind, to maintain the same love, to be united, and to be intent on one purpose. We are to be of the same mind, Trinity Baptist Church. This will prevent church fighting. This will prevent a church split. You should study the amount of church splits that happen in America. We are called to be of the same mind. What mind is that? We are called to have the same mindset. What mindset is that? Look at verse 3. I'm sorry, number 2 in your notes. I'm getting ahead of myself. Having the mind of Christ unites us. Having the mind of Christ unites us. And I have Romans 12:16 for you. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Our sinful minds serve and exalt who? Ourselves. The sinful mind is self-serving, self-loving, self-focused. The mind of Christ serves others. Look at verse 3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Number three in your notes, the mind of Christ is humility. The mind of Christ is humility. Again, our sinful minds focus on self. Our sinful minds are self-serving, self-loving, self-centered, self-exalting. The mind of Christ is humility. The mind of Christ puts others first. Number four in your notes, the mind of Christ is dedicated to meeting the needs of others. Love is the famous Greek word agape. This is so important, brothers and sisters. Jesus said this, we say at Trinity Baptist that we are here to obey Christ's commands. Amen? What are his commands? John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Look at these next words. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Christ humbled himself to serve us, and we're called to have the mind of Christ toward one another. Number five in your notes. The mind of Christ is a mind controlled and motivated by sacrificial love. The mind of Christ is a mind controlled and motivated by sacrificial love. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has given us a spirit of love. And the question is, what is love? Would you agree that our world is confused about what love is? If you watch television, if you see movies, if you expose yourself to anything that the world calls love, you will be very confused. The Bible tells us what love is. Please keep a bookmark in Philippians 2 and turn to beautiful 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. Love does not brag. It is not arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly. Love does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. The mind of Christ is a mind controlled by love. And when we have the mind of Christ, we love. 1 John 3:16. We know love by this. He laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We know love by this. He laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Back to Philippians 2, please. Philippians 2:3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. What does that life look like? Wouldn't you like a role model for that? Someone who could perfectly have the mind of Christ, that we could look at that person and say, this is what it means to live out the mind of Christ. We'd love to have a role model. We love role models, don't we? Who's your role model? Who is your role model? Maybe it's a woman that looks just right, and you say, I wish I could be like that woman. Maybe it's a man who's successful in business or athletic or good looking or whatever. And you say, I wish I could be like that guy. Who is your role model? We have a role model, amen? Do not look out for your own interests, but also for the interest of others. Who lived that life perfectly? Look at verse 5. Philippians 2, 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. The Greek word attitude is the same word that is in Philippians 2, 2 for mind, which is why in the King James it says, let this mind be in you. It's the same word. Have this attitude, brothers and sisters of Trinity, have this attitude, which was also in Christ. What attitude? How did he live that out? Look at verse 6. Philippians 2, 6. Who, that's Christ, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. Have you ever had a little baby that you're in charge of? I see I have some of the young mothers' attentions immediately here. Have you ever had a little baby that you're in charge of? Maybe you have siblings. Maybe a couple of boys. Oh, I got you. Okay. Maybe you have a couple of boys or even a couple of girls, and you watch them playing in the playroom or in the nursery or wherever they are, and you can see selfishness lived out. Someone has a toy, and they do the opposite of this verse. They consider that toy something to be grasped. And the brother or the sister or another child wants that toy, and this tug of war ensues, and there is selfishness oozing from their pores. This is how we were born. Christ wants to rescue us from that. And this verse is an amazing description of Jesus Christ. We can just read this verse and worship our Lord Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. Who is Jesus Christ? Before Jesus came to earth as a man, he existed from all eternity past. He has no beginning. He has no end. He is God the Son. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, that is Jesus Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is Jesus Christ? He is fully and completely God in every way. And even though Christ was living in perfect communion with the Father, living completely free of all human weaknesses, he did not hold on to that. He did not consider that something to be grasped. But he came down here and became a servant. Colossians 2, verse 9 says this, "For in Christ all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form." Christ did not hold on to his situation. He humbled himself. He loved us so much that he made himself nothing. He poured himself out. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says this, "For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." We could praise God right now, amen? We could sing praises to Jesus Christ for the next few hours just from reading this verse. Verse 6, "Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men." Christ loved us so much that he made himself nothing. He came down here and took the lowest position of all. It literally says that he poured himself out. And we've seen that in the Gospels, amen? Matthew 20. "And hearing this, the 10 became indignant with the two brothers, but Jesus called them to himself and said, 'You know the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many.'" Remember this, brothers and sisters. Christianity is not first you serving God. It's God serving you. That's how it starts. That's the beginning, and that's the foundation, and that is truly what it is all about. The word servant is such a bad word in our culture. Our society frowns on being a servant, on serving people. In fact, if you call someone a servant, they rear back in pride and self-exaltation. "I'm not a servant. I'm not your servant." Our culture makes the very word a bad word, but Trinity Baptist Church, Jesus is a servant. Number 6 in your notes. We are truly Christian when we're serving others. Jesus is a servant. Every morning I pray with Pastor Chris McPike. I'm not checking my text. This is part of my sermon. Be patient. Every morning I pray with Chris McPike. And I stayed there extra long today to pray with him. He's the pastor of Calvary Chapel in Indio. I prayed extra long with him today. And his service was actually about to start. He has a service at 8 o'clock. And by the time we got out of prayer, a lot of his people had already shown up, and some of his leaders were there. And one of his leaders is named Thomas, and he came up and he said, "Hi, how are you?" And he had a name tag with a strap and a little plastic sleeve, and his name was in there, and I took a picture of it. See it? No, you can't see it. I took a picture of it. It says, "Calvary Chapel, Indio, Thomas how may I serve you? Isn't that beautiful? Thomas was wearing the label servant proudly around his neck. May we wear it proudly too. Jesus is a servant. And I know I speak for every elder when I say, we are your servants. Look at verse 6 again. I'm sorry, 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Christ loved us so much that, in the words of Gordon Fee, he took the lowest place for you and for me. We always marvel at the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And it's a beautiful story, and we should marvel at that story, the beautiful story of Jesus washing his disciples' feet. And we always say, you want to see an example of Jesus being a servant? And people always go to that passage. They talk about Jesus being a servant, and instantly you're in John 13, and he's washing the disciples' feet. But that is nothing compared to the cross. The cross is where Jesus is a servant. He became poor so that we might be rich. Brothers and sisters, that is the mind of Christ that we are called to imitate. Verse 9. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When you have a sickness, you have two things. You have the disease and you have the symptoms, right? You have the actual disease and you have the symptoms. So, for example, if I had a cold up here today, I would have a stuffy nose. Maybe my nose would be running. I'd probably be coughing and sneezing. If I had a particularly bad cold, I might have a temperature. My voice would sound different. It would sound congested. Or maybe hoarse. Those are all symptoms, right? That's not the disease. The disease, or the virus, rather, would be the cold. Well, brothers and sisters, we all have a disease, and that disease is called sin. And that disease corrupts our minds so that we do not have the mind of Christ. What are the primary symptoms of the diseased mind? What are the symptoms, brothers and sisters, of the diseased mind? The symptoms are pride and self-centeredness. We love ourselves. We serve ourselves. We exalt ourselves. We focus on ourselves. It's all about us. Christ wants to heal us from that. The most wonderful thing is this: a non-Christian is stuck that way. There's no hope. But in Christ, we can have the mind of Christ. Number 7 in your notes. The mind of Christ is sacrificial love for the sake of spiritual blessing. The mind of Christ is sacrificial love for the sake of spiritual blessing. And then number 8 in your notes. Someone who is spiritually mature will humble themselves and live their lives for the spiritual growth of others. My brothers and sisters, the most beautiful thing about this Jesus who, although he existed in the form of God, emptied himself, poured himself out. This Jesus who, though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor so that we might be rich. This Jesus, his spirit lives in your heart. 1 Corinthians 6:17. The one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Because of our union with Christ, we can have the mind of Christ. And by God's grace and by God's empowering, you can live a life of sacrificial love. And it starts with renewing your mind. Romans 12:1-2. Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Will you pray with me, please? Gracious Heavenly Father, we want the mind of Christ, and we pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. We pray that you would save us, O God, from selfishness, from self-exalting, from self-serving, from self-focusing. And that you would give us the awesome grace of denying ourselves and following Christ. Gracious Heavenly Father, renew our minds and make us like your Son, in whose name we live and breathe and have our being, and in whose name we pray. Amen.